T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Halfway home with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Coming to you live on this raw Monday evening. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to leave us a comment. We ask you to download the radio.com app because that's how you listen to the radio station. When you're not in your vehicle, we know that you are not spending as much time in your car as what you were. So you want to listen to the radio station. How do I do it? Through the radio.com app. Download it, put it on your device. Take your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your Commodore 64, your Swatch Watch, Coleco, Game Boy, I don't know, whatever you got for a device, Nintendo system. Just download it on something that you have, Xbox. That way you can always catch us on the go. Social media at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. As always, the best way to be a part of this show is through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else. And that is out there. He's in Midtown producing the show. Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90. Braves just wrapped up against Philadelphia, tried to make a valiant comeback. I mean, you know, I never put a lot of stock in these comebacks when you're down 13-2. You know, pitchers are just trying to serve up meatballs and just trying to get three outs. Doesn't really matter at that point. But Braves trying to get some things done. Austin Riley homered in this game. Is he the ultimate all-or-nothing player right now? I mean, it seems like the only hits he gets are home runs. I know he's had a few singles mixed in here, but he seems like he's either a home run or a strikeout. He just feels like he's the ultimate all-or-nothing player right now. You know, I mean, he's obviously struggling. I think he came into the game hitting about .130 or something like that. But it's like when he gets a hold of the – when he makes contact, it goes a long way. I guess he's kind of what the modern-day baseball player is. It just, you know, it's a lot of no contact. It's a lot of outs with no contact. And when he does make contact, it goes a long, long way out. So Braves lose tonight, 13-8 is the final. Of course, story of the game is the fact that Sean Newcomb couldn't get anything done. Sean Newcomb, you know, after coming off what was a good start last week, you know, just couldn't get it done tonight. I think it was 40 some odd pitches. I think he was tagged for, I think he was tagged for 8 of the runs tonight. I think he's responsible for 8 of the runs. And they brought in one of their relievers, and you know, of course. Because, you know, they don't have, you know, they have such a good bullpen ERA. You know, maybe the Braves, maybe after tonight the Braves can stop tweeting out bullpen ERA. Okay? Maybe they can stop with that stupid stat, you know, out there. Because when they brought the reliever in for Newcomb, first pitch, Gregorius hits a grand slam. Perfect. So stop with the reliever ERA dumb stat. Because they've had multiple occasions over the last few days where guys come in and can't get the job done. See Luke Jackson, guys like that. See Manzik the other night. Tyler Manzik the other night. You know, they were talking about, oh, you know, his ERA. Yeah, but what happens when he lets in the guys on base, though? See, if he can't hold inherited runners from scoring, okay, what does his ERA matter? He was brought in to get that out, and he didn't, and it tied the game the other night. So he didn't do his job. But we're going to talk about his ERA. Oh, okay. I didn't know that that's how we judge, you know, relievers by. But anyway. So Braves wrap up their series against Philadelphia. And Believe it or not, they actually have a break coming up. Believe it or not, they're about to finish up this 20-game stretch and actually get a night off. Now, speaking of something that, you know, may get lots of nights off, college football, as by all accounts, tomorrow, the Big Ten and Pac-12 are going to cancel their fall football seasons. Let's head out to the waitfor.com hotline. We are joined by Chris Solari. He covers Michigan State football and basketball for the Detroit Free Press, and one of the people that broke kind of the story of the idea of the Big Ten is going to cancel their fall football season. You can follow Chris on Twitter. You can reach him. It's at Chris Solari, S-O-L-A-R-I, and he joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Chris, appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for spending a few minutes in Atlanta with us.
Yeah, I'm glad I can. It's been a crazy, well, what are we looking at now, 26 hours? In the past 26 hours, I've worked 23 of them, and it has been, I'd say, nonstop. And it's evolving rapidly every minute. It's been crazy, I'll tell you.
So, Chris, how do we go from this big celebration of the Big Ten and their announcement of their schedule, and we got this? Hell, I read reports from guys on the ground in Columbus that Ohio State practice today. So how do we go from such one extreme to literally now we're talking about canceling the season? How, what is the evidence that has been presented that so rapidly changed the narrative of what's going to happen?
Well, I think a lot of it was covered tonight in an ESPN report. At least five athletes have COVID-related heart problems within the Big Ten. It's not just football players. I mean, that's athletes. That's a risk. I mean, you know, if you see that now, and these kids have been either at home or a number of athletes have come back to campus, and they've been the only ones on campus, and they're still getting infected, then if you start talking about potentially bringing more people on campus, more students from different places, more athletes from different teams, because it's a lot of it's been minimal amounts of teams that have been able to sequester and stay apart. But you know how athletes are. I mean, you saw it at Rutgers. You saw it here at Michigan State that there was, you know, they had to shut down the football workouts back in July. So, you know, I think that's the big thing, is that the heart issues, I think, are causing people to, especially the presidents. I think this is one of those cases where it's going to be academia against athletics, and you know, they're very cognizant of what is going on from the medical side.
So, Chris, I always enjoy good conspiracy theory, and I know a lot of people are going to argue against what I'm going to say, but I don't think it's coincidence. I don't think it's coincidence that the two conferences that had the biggest pushback from players about their rights and their status and things like that are the first two conferences that are looking at canceling football. What say you?
I think that's somewhat a valid point. I also think that, you know, you look at a lot of those schools are very well-renowned research institutions and public research institutions. So, you know, part of, especially here in the Big Ten country, when you have land-grant institutions, is to serve the community at large, to serve the state at large. So the mission then becomes, well, how are you serving the community at large if you're putting these athletes into these communities and then potentially putting both them and others at risk? So, it's, you know, I think that's some of it. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Pac-12 athletes who came out talked about a boycott. I talked last night to talk about this long day that it's been, one continual day from yesterday to this. I talked with Michigan defensive back Hunter Reynolds at about 2 a.m., which seems like 4 days ago now to me. But he's part of that Zoom call with Trevor Lawrence and with Chuba Hubbard and Justin Fields and all the athletes. He was one of the guys that pulled in the Big Ten athletes for their unity statement. But he said that, you know, their mission differed from the Pac-12 because they were never planning on sitting out. They wanted the safety and security and health issues to be brought up and become unified. And I think, you know, you see the Trevor Lawrences and the guys at Clemson talking about the "we want to play." You know, they want to do it safely too. I think those guys all found common ground last night when they did their Zoom call. And that's what it is. I mean, these kids all want to play. I mean, listen, nobody doesn't want college football. You know, no one that's in their right mind that loves sports, that does our jobs, that is a player, is a coach. Everybody wants college football, but can you do it safely? You know, that's the big question. And that's, I think that ultimately the health factors, when you start to see the unknowns of what this with disease can do and the virus can do long term, that we don't know enough about. I think that's a big thing that, you know, you start talking about conspiracy theories. I think there's a bigger thing too as well about the liability risk. I mean, you can't force these athletes to sign waivers because they're not getting paid, but then you're not going to take care of them long term. I mean, that's another big, big issue that, you know, in 5 months has not been solved by any of these Power Five athletic directors. And, you know, it feels like college football right now is running up on the shore by itself with no leadership. You know, it's rudderless. So, but that's part of the construct of it, with five conferences at the top, five conferences kind of below it, and then a bunch of others floating around. You know, there's no one taking charge. And, you know, it's kind of, that's kind of, I think, where the frustration's coming in with from these athlete side. They want to see unified testing. They want to know that the results they're getting are accurate and quick, but I don't necessarily know if those things are going to be able to happen.
Chris, I'm going to give you one last question, but kind of with two parts to it, as we're joined by Chris Solari on the waitfor.com hotline. Covers football and basketball for Michigan State for the Detroit Free Press. One is, I don't see how spring works for football. If I'm Justin Fields, let's stay in the Big Ten. There's zero reason to go play spring football when I'm about to head to the NFL. You already saw Micah Parsons and the kid out of Minnesota that was going to sit out as it was this year. That's kind of part one, is how does spring football make sense? But also, too, I still believe that had the NCAA put in name, image, and likeness immediately, not wait until some mythical time next year and trying to go to Congress and things like that, and if they had done what two conferences, the Big Ten and the ACC, wanted as far as the one-time free transfer, if they had just played ball with the players, I think that there could have been less backlash and less worry about the whole situation. How do you see those two things, spring football and the fact that NIL and the transfer and the NCAA just fumbled everything when it came to making the players just even feel better about their stead?
Yeah, I'm going to work backwards on that, because I do think this is a crazy confluence of a number of issues that you're seeing with the name, image, likeness, also with Black Lives Matter. I mean, that's part of this, the equation that comes into play with these athletes and their unity statements. It's an unprecedented time. We've never seen, you know, there's 460, 480, almost 500,000 athletes across all divisions and all sports in college sports. And talking to Hunter Reynolds last night, one of those guys on that Zoom call, that's what they want to do. They want these athletes to become unified, to have a singular voice with the NCAA, with these schools, these all-powerful schools, that, you know, for the first time, athletes have some sort of say. And, you know, this is a different climate, a different era. I was in college 25 years ago, okay? And the guys like Ed O'Bannon, and I don't know if you know Ramogi Huma, who runs the College Players Association, those guys were athletes in college and kind of mm-hmm. peers with me. They didn't have leadership like that from the previous generation, but these guys do. You know, the O'Bannon case was huge for name, image, likeness. That's basically what blew it open. And Huma and his organization have been pushing these athletes to organize, whether it be I don't think they can make a union, but they can certainly be unified. And they have some of that. But the other thing I think that comes into mind, 25 years ago, these, you know, you had athletes being recruited. They knew kids from their region. They knew kids maybe from, I grew up in Pennsylvania, maybe they knew some guys from Ohio in the Big 33 game, or, you know, you mostly knew kids in your region, you know, not too far away, a couple towns over. These guys, these top-end guys now, they're going to camps all summer. They're getting to know these guys who go to all these major schools. They have friendships with these guys. That's different. The social media allows them to stay in touch rather than, hey, I just saw you this summer, I'll see you 3 years from now. They're able to stay in touch and foster these friendships with guys who have the same structure and belief and athleticism as them. So here you are. Now they're all just jumping on a Zoom call, and they all know each other from these camps. That's different. And I don't know if college athletic directors are ready for that. As far as spring football, I don't see it happening. Urban Meyer talked about that a month ago. I wrote about it a month ago. What I think they should do is try and make this, you know, people have talked, coaches have talked about this, you know, try and make the spring, get rid of the idea and notion of what spring football is. Get them doing spring practices with teams. Make it like an NFL setting. You know, have some scrimmages with the Sun Belt team down the road if you're in the SEC, or the MAC team down the road in the Big Ten. You know, maybe this year do some conference games, but in a scrimmage setting. Maybe it's someone you don't play next year. Get creative with it, but yeah, you can't do a full season. I mean, that's wear and tear on these guys' bodies. I think the hit count is what Urban Meyer called it. You know, there's only so many hits.
Come back six months later and say, let's start this whole thing back up, guys. And, you know, for Justin Fields, it won't matter because he'll be in the NFL, but everybody else is going to be like, wait a second, we just beat our brains in, and now we got to come back in April, play a spring game and everything. Hey, follow him. I got to go, Chris. I appreciate it. Follow him on Twitter, at Chris Solari. Covers Michigan State football and basketball for the Detroit Free Press. Join us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Thanks for the information, Chris. Really appreciate you spending a few minutes in Atlanta, and look forward to talking with you again.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Take care.
You got it. When we come back, it will be time for That's Life. Hanging out with you on this raw Monday evening. It is the John Chuckery Show. Sports Radio, 910 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. 9:23 on a raw Monday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. Download the radio.com app to make sure that you always catch us on the go. Social media, 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Of course, follow me at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. All right, a few things to get into this evening. By the way, Texture says we need to hear more basketball NBA talk. We will when we get to the playoffs, but what is there to talk about right now? What is there to talk about right now with the NBA? I mean, until we get to the playoffs, this is all just Mickey Mouse. That's it. This is literally just Mickey Mouse stuff in the NBA right now. Until you get to the playoffs, what difference does it make to have Dallas and Phoenix play one another? Right? And none of our local teams are in it. Right? You know, they already said the other eight teams, they ain't coming to the bubble. Because they were trying to get that going on. So, yeah, we will when we get to the playoffs. But none of this, what does this really matter? Why is LeBron James not playing? Because they already wrapped up the number one seed. The best player in the NBA isn't even playing. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Even he understands it doesn't matter right now. So we will. But there's nothing to talk about right now in the NBA season. What, do you want to break down the Dallas Mavericks? Huh? What? As Hugh Douglas would say, what? W-H-E-T, what? Lordy. Anyway. All right, a few things to get into. We'll get into our top 10 list here this evening. We'll create some controversy with that, because that's always a sensitive, subject when you get into this top 10 topic. Boy, another good day on the market today. And what really drove, what's funny today is the NASDAQ was down, but the Dow was up today. And Jarvis, I don't know if you saw this or not, but travel, airline travel especially, they were doing looking at results. Yesterday was the busiest travel day since like the first week of March. People are traveling again. Now, It's down year over year significantly, but actually yesterday was up. It was less of a loss, if you will, year over year yesterday. But travel is back up, and the airline industry really did well today. Delta did well today. Boeing did real well today. So any of the airlines, people are talking about, you know, they're starting, you know, people are talking about travel and things like that, and when are we going to start to get back? The numbers of air travel are starting to go up and up and up and up as far as how many people are traveling again. So just FYI. And there was still, you know, good news in other places. BIOC still rolling right along. They gained another, what, another 10% today. So plenty of stuff still, to, you know, out there. And I'm telling you, if you're getting these medical things, you got to take the losses with the hits. I got some stuff that's just crapping out, man. I got some stuff that's crapping out right now, and I got some stuff that's doing really well in the medical field with all of it. So, but I'm telling you that I don't know that Delta and some of the airlines will get back to pre-pandemic levels of their stock when they were pushing 60, when Delta was pushing 60 bucks, was in the $60 range. But again, okay, let me have 50 bucks a share, and all of that'll give me about 120% return. I'll take that. If you told me that Delta's going to give me 120% return, take it all day long. All right, there was one other thing too that I wanted to get into. Oh, this whole it's Shark Week this week. Okay, it's Shark Week this week. Did you see this picture this guy took? Jarvis, have you seen these great white sharks that jump up out of the air and get their food and all that kind of stuff? They call them the shark breach. That they like fly up in the air out of the water with like when they go to attack like a seal or something like that.
I have not seen that one.
Have you seen?
No, I have not.
You have not seen that before?
No, I haven't seen that before. Yeah.
So they call it the breach is what they call it when the shark comes up out of the water. And these are great white sharks, by the way, okay? Here's how you know that the great white sharks just own the entire saltwater community of the entire earth. One of the guys this week took a picture of a shark breach where this guy is, and it's on the Shark Week Twitter feed, at Shark Week. This shark, this great white shark, and it's a big great white shark, Jarvis, this thing is like 15 feet in the air out of the water. It was able to jump up and get up and high enough with enough force that this big great white shark, not like some little baby shark, this great white shark that like attacked this seal or whatever, is like 15 foot in the air. Now, how frightening is that? How frightening is that these things can get up 8 or 10 or 15 feet in the air as it is? It's bad enough what they can do in the water. Now they're going to jump up out of the water and eat us all on the boat, on the side of the boat.
And you know the first place it happened in Georgia, right? You know where it happened in Georgia first, right?
Where?
At Lake Lanier. It happened at Lake Lanier. I know it's a lake and Mammoth Lake, all that. But just given the way things go down at Lake Lanier, yeah, it will happen at Lake Lanier. I'm sure. That'll be the first place it happens.
Listen, if you see a shark jump up, with a what was that? Was it a necklace or what did Julio lose? What did he lose in Lake Lanier?
I want to say it was earrings. I believe it was
it earrings. Okay.
I think it was some really expensive earrings.
So if you see a great white shark with his bling earrings jumping up out of the water, you know he's been hanging out with Julio out there. But this picture is unbelievable of this shark like 15 feet in the air out of the water. You know, with this big, like, I don't know if it's a seal or an otter or whatever it is in its mouth. And I'm like, Lordy, we got no shot at all of this. All right. So I gave Jarvis tonight for our top 10 list, top 10 breakfast cereals, our top 10 favorite breakfast cereals of all time. Jarvis, if you would, please get us started.
All right. So I kind of had to go through this a little bit because, you know, when you think about breakfast cereals, there's some cereal that I will eat today, but there's some cereals that I wouldn't eat that I used to eat back in the day. So it's a combination of both. And
listen, part of it It's the kid in you, and it's the adult in you. It's a mixture of both.
Yeah, so let's go. I'm gonna start out with some Rice Krispies. I was really like Rice Krispies back in the day growing up. I used to add so much sugar to those things. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is something that I didn't eat as a child, but when I got into my late teens, early 20s, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I was introduced to that. Oh my goodness. I was like, where have you been all my life? Crunch Berries. Really like, big fan of those as a child growing up. Fruit Loops. Definitely love those as a child. Raisin Bran Crunch. That was something I will eat today. That's like an adult cereal. I love me some good old Raisin Bran Crunch, man. And then you throw some little ice chips into your milk and make it super cold. Yeah, you might be doing a little something with that. Frosted Flakes, obviously, when I was younger. I like Apple Jacks to this day. I love me some Apple Jacks to this day. And Honey Nut Cheerios, that's something I'll eat right now. Those are really good. And lastly, I left this one for the last, and it was my absolute favorite growing up, was Honey Smacks. Now, Honey Smacks is, I don't know, for those, I mean, I know you know, Chuck, but they look very similar to roaches. And we had a little bit of an issue growing up and on the west side of town there. And there was one particular morning where I had eaten some Honey Smacks, and I went back for seconds, and I saw some little friends up in there. So I don't know if it was part of the batch that I just had, but I know I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I still continue to eat Honey Smacks afterwards. So,
look, what's wrong with adding a little bit of protein into your cereal, right?
Hey, obviously, I turned out the size that I did. So, you know, and I was able to, you know, play a little ball with it. So, hey, it's probably a diet that I need to start and, you know, get everybody on nowadays. You know how everybody else, these fads and stuff.
The roaches weren't going to eat a whole lot. So, it's not like they were going to eat a whole lot of your cereal. So, you just... You know, they
shared. They were very nice, man. They shared. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. They put their little tentacles out there and said, you know, hey, let me try a little bit of this honey and let me see what it's like out there.
And then they were like, hey, big boy, you can have yours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we only ended up with three that are similar.
Really?
I've got Honey Nut Cheerios as well.
Okay.
I've got Frosted Flakes, and I'd still eat Frosted Flakes to this day. And my personal favorite cereal as an adult is Raisin Bran Crunch. That's my personal favorite.
So good.
So a mixture of other things in my list. Corn Pops. Love Corn Pops as a kid. Frosted Mini Wheats. I love Frosted Mini Wheats. I still like Frosted Mini Wheats. Cinnamon Life. Do you remember Life cereal? Hey, Mikey, he likes it.
Yeah, I remember that. Isn't that kind of a knockoff of Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Kind of, maybe?
Yeah, although, you know, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is not on my list. It's all right. It's all right. It didn't make my list, but I know it's very popular with folks. But Cinnamon Life made it for me. As a kid, I ate the daylights out of Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, yeah.
I love Fruity Pebbles.
That almost made my list, yeah.
Blueberry, as a kid. You had Count Chocula. You had Frankenberry, and you had Booberry. Booberry was the blue one. That was the blue ghost. Loved blue Booberry. And then the final two, Golden Grahams, which I think was what Cinnamon Toast Crunch was before there was a Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You had Golden Grahams. I love Golden Grahams. And then the Cookie Crisp, where it was like you had little mini like chocolate chip cookies as your cereal. So you got like the mini, like they were like, they were like the little mini chocolate chip cookies, but cereal. And I was down with all that. So Cookie Crisp was mine out there. So if you want to hit us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, feel free to do it at 404-741-0929 with your favorites. Also hit me up on Twitter at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. When we get back, well, the Braves need Max Fried more than ever. And by the way, he was magnificent over the weekend. We'll talk about that next. This is John Chuckman Show, hanging out on this raw Monday evening. Sports Radio 929 The Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Back at it here on the John Chukwu Show. Hanging out with you on this raw Monday evening. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to leave us a comment. Radio.com app is how you listen to the radio station outside your car. At 929 The Game on social media. At JMCH316. At JarvisD90. Braves go down tonight 13-8. Wrap up their series in Philadelphia. And, you know, it was a good day yesterday as the Braves took the doubleheader. Of course, remember, they were rained out on Friday night. Played yesterday afternoon. Then yesterday, or played Saturday afternoon, I should say. And then yesterday afternoon, played the doubleheader. Of course, the seven-inning doubleheader. They played two games that were seven innings each for all of it. And one of the things that Snicker decided to do was he held back Max Fried until the second game of the doubleheader. You know, kind of trying to make sure that either way, one is I give my best chance to try to get a split if I lose game one, but also two, if they win game one, give himself a great chance to go out there and be able to take both of them. And of course they did yesterday. Max Fried on the year, 4 starts, 3-0 with a 1.59 ERA. 22 2/3 innings pitched, only 4 earned runs given up. He's got 21 strikeouts in that time. He's got only 6 walks, which is a .838 whip. That's phenomenal. And look, it's going to be incumbent on Max Fried that he's going to have to pitch his tail off every single start. You know, and fair or unfair, he's got to make sure that he is an ace and acts like an ace every time out. And that wasn't necessarily, obviously, the plan going into all of this season. You know, I think we all thought, and I think the Braves thought, that obviously with Mike Soroka, that because he was going to pitch opening day, that was the guy that looked at it their number one starter. Then, of course, Soroka goes down for the year, and you know he's out with the ACL injury. And now Max Fried gets a chance to kind of show what a lot of people already started watching last year. And we talked about Max Fried, you know, through the offseason about, look, cut down on the amount of base runners, you know, lower that whip. His whip was a little bit high. We knew he could strike guys out. You know, he's very close to that 9 strikeout, you know, 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. You know, a strikeout an inning, that's what you want. In today's baseball, you know, ideally you want that, you know, if you're a frontline starter with the way the game is played, get a, you know, average a strikeout per inning. And he's real close to all of that. But most importantly is the fact that the amount of runs that he's given up. He has not given up a home run this year. Now, we talked about Sean Newcomb, just to put it in perspective. Newcomb, I believe, 17 earned runs now that he's given up. Kyle Wright, you know, he's got a 6.75 ERA. He's given up 9 runs. Tukey on the year, he's given up 9 runs. His ERA is over 6. You know, obviously they're looking for guys, you know, forget Fultonevich. I mean, he's, you know, he'd given up 6 runs in his 1 start. So, more than anything, and by the way, Yona that pitched on Saturday yesterday in the game. You know, I mean, they're going to have some of these young guys that frankly are going to be what was the term that the Tampa Bay Rays used? Was the opening pitcher, right? Not necessarily like the starting pitcher, but like the opening pitcher. What do they call him, Jarvis? Yeah, the opener. You know, that's what some of these guys will probably be. And because, you know, of how deep and how many guys they have in their bullpen, that's what they're going to use. But on days that Max Fried is on the hill now, they need it more than ever where he can eat up innings to rest your bullpen because, frankly, with everybody else that they have, their bullpen's going to get taxed. And they need to be able to every fifth day feel like that they can maybe have a short night or feel like they don't need everybody out there. You know, you don't feel like you have to put six guys out there, you know, to get through a nine-inning game. You know, with Freed, maybe it's max, maybe one or two guys at most. You know, he can go seven, put somebody in the eighth, Melanson in the ninth, you know, or even if you need your closer, put somebody in the ninth and be done, but not have to burn more than two arms at most when he pitches. And fair or unfair, if the Braves are going to win this division and win this thing, they're going to need, you know, they're going to need right now Max Fried to be perfect pretty much the rest of the way. Until when you tell me that they have somebody else that's going to consistently step up, and that's been the shame of all of this, is the fact that they can't find right now a second guy. Mike Foltynewicz, disaster, gets set down after one start. I wonder, honestly, how many more starts is Sean Newcomb going to get? And you could say, well, they have to have him. They don't have any Sure, they got choices. They got 4,000 guys in their minor league system. Because, I mean, can you keep trotting Sean Newcomb out there? You know, he's just all over the place. Started off bad, 3-run homer to Bryce Harper, and it was all downhill, 8 runs tonight. How many more starts does Sean Newcomb get? Because you can't just keep trotting these guys out here that just get hammered every time they go out. You know, I heard on the Saturday broadcast, they're like, well, Kyle Wright's line didn't look good, but, you know, he pitched better than his line. Well, what does that mean? What does that do you? I understand the offense didn't do anything. They got shut out, but you give up 5 runs. His ERA's almost 7. I mean, what's lying about that line if his ERA's almost 7 right now? And it's not just because he made one start. He can't give you many innings. He does, you know, he doesn't give you a whole lot of quality. And it all, and there's always that point at which for him, it just kind of falls apart. It's going to make you appreciate how good Max Fried is through all of this at this point. About how good that he's been. And by the way, Wright's made 3 starts. 3 starts. He's given up 15 hits, 9 runs, 2 homers. He's walked 10 guys. He's pitched 12 innings. He's got 11 strikeouts in 12 innings. That's pretty good. But he's walked 10 guys. His whip is 2.083. That's dreadful. That's dreadful. You have to cut that number in half. So, I don't know where they're going at this point. Because after tonight, are you ready to roll Sean Newcomb back out for another start? He's had one good start. One. And that's been it. How much more do you keep riding with Sean Newcomb? I don't know. I mean, surely they give somebody else a shot to it. But it is going to make us appreciate how good Max Fried has been. And I hate to say, and fair or unfair to him, he's going to have to be perfect. He's going to have to be perfect the rest of the way. Because right now, they don't have anybody. And just the same way I said about Soroka, they have to win every one of his starts. If they're going to try to win this thing right now with the way they're starting pitching is, they have to win every start because he's going to give them an opportunity to win every start. You know, they can't afford for Max Fried to even have one of those, he screwed up and didn't pitch real well. They can't afford to give up those games. If he's got a game where he gives up, you know, 3 runs or 4 runs in 6 innings, they got to score 5. Have to find a way to win his starts. Because after that, it's a real mixed bag. And if they're going to have to burn through, you know, 5 bullpen arms to get a win, which they can do. They've got guys. But remember, too, the rosters are going to change as you move forward through this thing. The rosters are not going to expand. The roster is going to contract by, what is it? I think it's a player here, then a player a few weeks later and stuff like that. That you're going to have, you know, 1 or 2 less options as you get toward the end of the season with it all. So if you're going to burn your bullpen out, Freed's got to make sure that every fifth day you can get six or seven innings out of him. He's only going to give you two, maybe three runs in seven innings. Ideally two runs. And fair or unfair, it may be a lot of pressure on the kid, but that's where this team is at. That's where they're at right now. Because, you know, their offense has been a mixed bag at times. And it's not just because, you know, when you face Jacob DeGrom, everybody gets that. Everybody understands when you face Jacob DeGrom, your offense isn't going to, you know, do a whole lot. But, you know, on the flip side of that, well, that's the kind of guys you see in the playoffs, right? If you line up against, you know, the Dodgers, you're going to get Kershaw and Bueller, right? If you line up against the Nationals, you're going to get Strasburg and Scherzer. Saw Aaron Nola tonight. You know, Aaron Nola was the guy who got to start tonight, you know, for Philadelphia. You're going to get him and Arrieta if they make the, you know, if they were to make the playoffs or what have you. And there's some strange teams, by the way, that are in first place right now. You know, the Marlins have had a good record. The Rockies have been off to a good start as well, you know. But, you know, that's kind of baseball. You know, in this shortened season, if you get somebody who's, you know, who's hot and you can ride them for a couple of weeks, you can make some hay. It's not one of those things where 162 is going to even everything out. 60 games, you know, may get some fluctuations. So when you do have a known commodity, when you've got a commodity as good as Max Fried, yeah, fair or unfair, you got to win every start. He's got to pitch perfect. And so far, he's been, you know, nothing short of magnificent. I don't know what the Cy Young race would look like, but boy, if he's not in the mix right now, if he doesn't look like one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, then I don't know. Maybe we're watching two different sports. All right, get back for the top of the hour. It'll be time for our NFL squib kick. We'll also get the Brown Liquor Music Hour started. It is the John Trekwer Show. Hanging out with you on this Raw Monday, Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on your radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.